This video was made possible by CuriosityStream. When you sign up at curiositystream.com/reallifelore, you'll also get access to Nebula, the streaming video platform that Real Life Lore is a part of. This is Italy, or more specifically, the Italian peninsula. Like all civilizations in the real game of Civ IRL, Italy has been defined by her geographic reality and starting place. At first glance, Italy's position seems strong and easy to defend. She is surrounded by water on three sides in the west, south, and east, which leaves only the north to defend against land attacks from. Luckily, however, the north is also easily protected and defensible by the Alps, which are a bunch of really, really big mountains. Italy's geographic armor is amongst the strongest of any country in the world because she has full complete 360-degree coverage. But there is a downside to what looks like nothing but upsides. Italy's geography stats have relatively recently been nerfed compared to how good they used to be, and Italy today in the late game just isn't as powerful as it used to be back in the early game. And here's how. The world's first civilizations that spawned into the world map began around here around 6,000 years ago in Mesopotamia, followed up quickly by several more across the Mediterranean, like Egypt, the Greek states, Carthage, and eventually a tiny little town called Rome. Now, the civilizations that started around the Mediterranean were still in the early game of world discovery, so most of the world's geography was still shrouded and unknown to any of them. Travel and mapping out lands was difficult, but it was least difficult across the Mediterranean Sea, because map makers could just sail around it and across it and draw out what it looked like. On most maps of the known world at the time, therefore, the Mediterranean was often at the center or at least the most prominent feature. Take a look at this early world map created by the Greeks in the 6th century. BC, or this map created by the Greeks in the 5th century BC, and this map created by the Greeks after the conquests of Alexander the Great. Each iteration shows a slight evolution in the understanding of the region's geography, but each one is highly concentrated around the Mediterranean Sea, because that's what civilizations here at the time were familiar with. So if you wanted to dominate the Mediterranean region and the rest of the early civilizations and their populations that surrounded it, what geographic feature do you think would be the most important for you to control? It would be the Italian peninsula in the center of it all, with long coastlines that can provide your civilization's ships equally easy access to both the western and eastern halves of it. If fully controlled under a single power, Italy can be used as a springboard to dominate and rule the entire Mediterranean Sea from, which at the time was basically the entire known world to the civilizations that existed there. And the first civilization that accomplished that was Rome, who carved out an enormous empire across the region from the nucleus in Italy. Rome's power, wealth, and success brought about an explosion in the population of Italy, to the point where Italy alone was home to 6.5% of the entire human species, while the empire at large was home to a whopping 30% of humanity. For the people who lived in the ancient civilizations around the Mediterranean Sea, Italy was basically at the center of the known world, and in terms of population, Italy literally was at the administrative center for almost one out of every three living humans. But Italy's enormous wealth and strategic location has encouraged ambitious external invaders for thousands of years. Carthaginians, Germanic tribes, Huns, more Germanic tribes that caused the empire to collapse, Byzantines, Arabs, and eventually the Spanish, Austrian, and French empires. After the collapse of the Roman Empire, Italy splintered into dozens of independent city-states that largely followed clear geographic lines across the peninsula. Italy's interior is extremely mountainous, with the Apennines stretching down the length of the spine, and this provided enough separation between regions for strong regional identities in the peninsula to crop up over time after the collapse of the empire and any strong centralized authority that went with it. So, after Byzantine Italy collapsed, the peninsula would remain divided between the city-states and external empires for over 1,000 years before the pieces started coming back together again in the 19th century. But by then, Italy's geographic situation and reality had severely deteriorated. First of all, population. Italy's population today, in 2020, is 60.5 million, which is almost the same as the population of the entire Roman Empire in the 2nd century. Today, though, that amount of people is only enough to make up 0.8% of the entire human population, a significantly lower percentage than in the 2nd century. Secondly, the knowledge of the world map has been dramatically expanded by this point in the late game, and everybody knows that the Mediterranean isn't at the center of everything. Nearly all of the modern world's great powers, after all, aren't even located within the region, like the UK, Germany, Russia, India, China, Japan, and the United States. The Italian peninsula is still a strong geographic position to dominate the Mediterranean from, but that only goes so far as to establish regional domination today rather than the world domination of the past, because far fewer people live in the area proportionally than they did in ancient times. Civilizations have expanded across the globe, trade has moved on to new seas and continents, and the Mediterranean, while still significant, is not as universally important as it was in the past. To illustrate this point even more, let's analyze Italy's geographic problems she encountered during the World Wars. In 1915, the recently unified Italy joined the Entente and declared war against Germany and Austria-Hungary. The Italian front line stretched across here from Switzerland to the Adriatic Sea, and therefore was the only possible path for the Italian army to attack through over land. Switzerland was neutral and could not be passed, and naval assaults across the Adriatic Sea were complicated. So unfortunately for the Italians, the whole front ran through the gigantic mountains here and along the Isonzo River over here, meaning that whenever they attacked, they had to either fight over mountains or across a river. The Austro-Hungarians just had to sit in their forts on the mountains or behind the river and let geography kill and slow the advancing Italians. And that is exactly what they did. 11 times in 11 separate battles, the Italians attacked across the Isonzo River, and 11 times they made effectively no progress and lost hundreds of thousands of men in the process. On the 12th battle, it was the Austro-Hungarians, supported by the Germans, who were the ones attacking, and they pushed the exhausted and demoralized Italians back over 100 kilometers near to Venice before they were finally stopped. Out of all of Italy's casualties in the war, half of them were spent just trying to break out of her geographic prison across the Isonzo. But Italy's geographic weaknesses extend well beyond this place and war. Part of the reason why Italian states never became world colonizers in the first place is also due to sheer geographic placement. It's no wonder that the European states who became the most successful colonizers were all located on the westernmost side of the continent, because they had the easiest access to launch ships out into the global ocean system. While Italy is well positioned to launch ships to dominate the Mediterranean, her access to the world ocean is more limited, because the only way out, historically, was through the Strait of Gibraltar, which is only 11 kilometers wide at its narrowest point. And when an enemy is in control of the strait and chokes it off, Italian navies can't leave and they get trapped. And this is what happened during the Second World War. At this point, the British Empire controlled not only Gibraltar, but also the Suez Canal, which were the only two entrances and exits possible into the Mediterranean, and so they could be used to contain the entire Italian navy inside like a big bathtub. Italy's navy couldn't break out to threaten the Allies elsewhere unless they could take over one or the other, but they were never capable of it. Even further, Britain also controlled the island of Malta that's roughly at the halfway point between Sicily and North Africa. Malta was used as an outpost to harass Italy's shipping, logistics, and supplies that she was sending out to her overseas troops fighting in North Africa, and Italy was just never capable of dealing with it, like a constant thorn in her side. And once America got involved, the Allies could just funnel in ships through either entrance and overwhelm Italy's smaller navy and smaller industrial base that couldn't replenish losses as easily, and by 1943, Italy was already defeated. The Allies had vast empires and resources to call upon from across the world that they could concentrate into the Mediterranean, while Italy's colonial empire was much closer to home just across the Mediterranean in Libya and through the Suez in Somalia and Ethiopia, which were all very easy for the Allies to cut off and separate from the Italian mainland. Modern Italy is also largely defined by her geographic realities. Italy is very mountainous after all, which makes development in those parts of the country pretty expensive. Plains and flatland are cheaper to build cities in and develop, and this is the largest plain that Italy has, and it's called the Po River Valley. So it should come as no no surprise that this plain is home to some of Italy's most powerful cities, like Venice, Milan, and Turin. The Po Valley and nearby surrounding areas accounts for 46% of Italy's population and 55% of Italy's entire economy. There is a huge economic divide between Italy's north and Italy's south, which has caused tension and separatist movements to become popular. Numerous polls have been taken in the province of Veneto that show over 50% support in the province for an independent state of Venice. And there already exists two fully independent states that are separate from Italy in the Italian peninsula. They never got San Marino and Vatican City, which was given independence in 1929. The mountains across Italy have kept people separated and led to the development of strong regional identities and autonomy. And keeping the whole peninsula together and united has been a strong challenge for the Italian state ever since it was founded, and it continues to be a problem even today. While a developed country and a modern great power, Italy's geographic position is still good for regional domination in the Mediterranean, but it's no longer the ideal starting place for world domination like it was in the ancient past. And so, that is how Italy's geography got nerfed in the late game of Civ IRL. Geography, however, is just one of many aspects about our planet that influences one civilization's success and another one's hardships. I could tell you all about how geology, physics, biology, psychology, and even chemistry also all have major critical roles in a civilization's success. Or you could just watch the great documentary series that will explain all of that for me, Deep Time History, which is available right now on CuriosityStream. CuriosityStream is the stream platform with thousands of top quality documentaries to watch from people like David Attenborough, Chris Hadfield, Stephen Hawking, Jane Goodall, and so many more, and it's only $20 a year for a subscription. It's not $20 per month, it's just $20 for a whole year. Plus, when you sign up for an annual subscription to CuriosityStream with the link in the description, or by going to curiositystream.com/reallifelore, you'll also get access to Nebula, the streaming platform made by myself and a bunch of your other favorite YouTube creators, which is filled with ad-free versions of all of our videos, plus a bunch of awesome original content, like The World's Most Useful Airport by the guy behind Wendover Productions, as well as my car review show Grand Test Auto, hosted by myself and JT from Second Thoughts. You can get that bundle deal right now at curiositystream.com/reallifelore. And as always, thank you so much for watching.